That lively reel could well have been played at some country crossroads dance in County Clare, Ireland, but you are listening to a fiddler named Patrick Bonner, recorded on Beaver Island, Michigan in 1938. It's part of a treasure trove of recordings made by the famed folklorist Alan Lomax as he prowled through Michigan on his legendary 10-year cross-country trip collecting American folk music during the Depression. He did it for the Library of Congress. Now Alan Lomax's hundreds of Michigan recordings are being presented in a traveling exhibition from the Michigan State University Museum. It's called Michigan Legacy, Grand Discoveries from the Great Depression. It opens this Friday, November 1st, at the Denos Museum Center in Traverse City, and it'll run until January 5th. Joining us now is Dr. Lori Summers. She's a folklorist and ethnomusicologist and Michigan's program coordinator for the Lomax Michigan Legacy Project. Welcome to the program, Lori.
Thank you.
And we are pleased to welcome Todd Harvey, the curator of the Alan Lomax Collection at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. That's where you will find the largest archive of recorded folk music in the world. Todd joins us now from Washington. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Cindy.
Todd, start by telling us, who was Alan Lomax?
Well, Alan Lomax was specifically the assistant in charge of the archive of American folk song during the 1930s. And this was a small archive that was charged with the enviable task of documenting all of American folk song. And they did a pretty good job, but is obviously an impossible task. Alan Lomax went on to be one of the most famous folklorists in 20th century America, because he made so many recordings of people who would later become famous, Woody Guthrie, Muddy Waters. His first intern was a young man named Pete Seeger in 1940.
Wow.
And he went on to have a very long and distinguished career.
And what was behind this mission to get out there and try to record every folk song that he could find and every artist in tune? What was behind that?
Well, I think that the folks at the Library of Congress in the late 1920s saw that regional America was changing with the rise of the mass media and, population shifts and things like that. And they recognized that expressive culture was important and that we should try to document it, and that, you know, the songs of ordinary Americans were just as important as the president's papers that filled the Library of Congress at the time. And so they hired first a man named Robert Winslow Gordon, and then the Lomaxes, John A. Lomax and his son Alan Lomax, to carry on the task.
I might also add that Lomax was able to build on a number of regional collections that had been going on really throughout the first half of the 20th century, and I think the 1930s were what I like to call sort of a golden age of collecting of ballads and regional materials. And so although he was a marvelous collector, he didn't do it all by himself. He was able to pull on the ongoing work of collectors. For example, here in Michigan, there were two collectors in particular that he used as springboards and actually who accompanied him in one case on his collecting, and that was E.C. Beck at what's now Central Michigan, who had been collecting the songs of the Michigan Lumberjacks, and Ivan Walton, who was a professor at the University of Michigan, who had begun to collect what he called the songs of the schoonermen, or the songs of the great age of sailing ships on the Great Lakes. And part of the impetus for these regional collectors came kind of out of an intellectual quest to identify what was unique and distinctive about American culture as opposed to our roots in so many other parts of the world, especially Europe. Mm. And so it was part of a defining role of determining what was distinctive about American culture.
And the reason that he went to Michigan was because a couple of people, E.C. Beck and Sidney Robertson, told him that he should go to Michigan and that there was wonderful music to be collected there. And For the most part, the Lomaxes during the early 1930s had been focused in the Deep South and the Upland South, and the library decided that it wanted to expand its collections And so they sent their man into the field, into Kentucky in 1937, Ohio and Indiana in the spring of 1938, and then the Great Lakes trip in the fall of 1938.
And once he got here, you know, again, this was supposed to be a tour of the Lake States, which he defined as Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and he had great contacts in all three states. But I think it should be a source of considerable pride to Michiganders that he became so enthralled with what he found in Michigan that he called it the most fertile ground for folk material that he had yet discovered. And this was a man who had, at the tender age of 23, as Todd said, been across most of the southern U.S. He'd been to the Bahamas, he'd been to Haiti, and yet he finds in Michigan the most fertile ground for folk material. He was really the first to look broadly at the Upper Peninsula, which is really what he was referring to with the most fertile ground. I like to think it was the entire state. He was enthralled with everything he found here, but when he got to the UP, he was almost beside himself with the richness of traditions that he found. And so he spent virtually his entire collecting trip in Michigan.
We're talking to Dr. Lori Summers, who's a folklorist, and also Todd Harvey, the curator of the Alan Lomax Collection at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. Lori, we opened up with a very lively Irish reel that I'm sure we danced to in my adult Irish step dancing class. It was extremely authentic and amazing to think that it was recorded on Beaver Island. Give us some sense of the other cultures he discovered in Depression-era Michigan.
Well, Alan Lomax took this swath across Michigan that began in Detroit, and ended in the western UP. And, you know, today we think of, at least in terms of popular culture, we tend to think of Michigan in terms of Detroit and, you know, Motown and figures like Eminem or Bob Seger. But what Lomax was really interested in was the music of rural Michigan, although he did start in Detroit and he made some wonderful ethnic recordings and blues recordings there. But he went on to Mount Pleasant, where he recorded lumberjacks that had been identified by E.C. Beck, the folklorist working out of what's now central Michigan. He was drawn to northeast corner of Michigan, to the small towns of Posen and Metz, where ethnographers had, as early as the 20s, had been looking at Polish traditions, and he recorded a large number of songs in both Polish and instrumentals and some in English there. He was in Traverse City, which is one reason we're, you know, the tour that we're doing of the state currently with Michigan Humanities Council funding is going to locations where Lomax recorded. And he crossed the Straits, and then in the Upper Peninsula, he was recording an additional lumberjack material. But here is where he really began to get at a richness of ethnic traditions, you know, all the ethnic groups, particularly that came to the Keweenaw Peninsula to work in mining or elsewhere in the UP to work in mining and then were working in lumber camps and settled out to have farms. And it was a remarkable accomplishment of this survey. There were many things that he missed, but the number of things that he documented is extraordinary.
I'd like to have us take a listen to a Polish wedding march. You mentioned the village, tiny village of Posen. I think even in the last census, it had just slightly over more than 200 people. It's in the northeast Lower Peninsula. And this was a wedding march that would have accompanied the bride and groom to and from the church. Todd, what do these tunes and songs say about that point in our nation's history and the communities that produce them?
Well, I think in Michigan particularly, there were a lot of immigrant communities. There were a lot of people who had immigrated or were first generation, and those traditions that they brought with them from Poland, from Finland, were strong and were evolving. And that's really interesting to me. One of the weddings that he documented it was a Polish wedding in Detroit. He talks about how the older generation wanted polkas and the younger generation howled for jazz. And so you're seeing a melding of cultures that I think is particularly interesting in Michigan.
And it makes me wonder, Lori, how has the legacy of those singers and those musicians that Alan Lomax recorded 75 years ago. How is it impacting Michigan's music scene in 2013?
Well, I think that's one of the things that we're trying to pull out when we do this this tour for the 75th anniversary commemoration, is that some of these songs are still sung, but if sometimes if the songs are not still sung or performed, the communities that Lomax recorded are still there and are carrying on of the traditions, you know, of Polish community in Posen has polka bands there every Labor Day weekend for their potato fest. The Finnish music in the Upper Peninsula that Lomax recorded is alive and well and thriving in today's manifestation. So that really the roots of who we are as a state were documented by Lomax, and you know he was recording in 1938. But you have to understand that the repertoire that he was teasing out of the people that he recorded with this big bulky Presto disc recorder was in many cases repertoire that had been in its prime and active in the late 19th century. This was the golden age of Great Lakes sailing. You know, the late 19th and early 20th century was the heyday of the lumber industry. Mining has had its ups and downs, but, you know, the miners were on relief and having pretty hard times in 1938. But these traditions that had been passed on in the communities and families from generation to generation had even deeper roots. So what we're seeing is the building blocks of who we are today, and I think we are a state whose strength has always been in its diversity and that have a tremendous ethnic richness, and I think that's really one of the more powerful legacies that the Lomax Collection has.
Let's take a listen to another Lomax recording. This is a singer named Carl Lathrop. He was recorded in the town of St. Louis in Gratiot County, pretty much right at the center of the Lower Peninsula. The song is called One More, a Lumbering Go.
Come all your sons of freedom and listen to my theme. Come all your roving lumberjacks that run the Saginaw Stream. We'll cross the Tittabawassee where the mighty waters flow, and we'll roam the wild woods over, and once more a lumbering go, and once more a lumbering go.
Todd and Lori, you have both made folk music your life's passion, as did Alan Lomax. And I want the thoughts of both of you. Why is it so important to keep these songs and tunes alive?
Well, I think one answer to why it's important is that these songs are, you know, it's the music of everyday people. It's something that we share. It's our legacy. It's our collective memory. And these are tunes that help remind us who we are. They remind us where we come from. They kind of get at the heart and root of community culture. I mean, we tend to be, you know, obsessed with popular culture and with, you know, the sounds of symphonies and of, you know, what we hear on the top 40 and what you can download, you know, from your iPad from the major recording artists of the day. And I don't want to, you know, that's important. But this is the kind of music that is really integrally tied to community and family and regional culture. And I think that's why it's important to continue it. And actually now, thanks to the Library of Congress, you're going to be able to download it in a few months just like you could any other kind of music. And that's part of the whole effort here with the 75th anniversary, is there's an element of, a powerful element of access and a powerful element of repatriation of these tunes back to the families and communities of origin. And we've already been in contact, and Todd knows this well, too, with family members of people who were recorded by Lomax who are quite thrilled with this entire process.
Well, Todd, tell us, what will the Library of Congress be doing? Lori mentioned we'll be able to download.
Sure. Michigan State University Museum has undertaken public programming, and Lori's coordinating that, and it's very, very exciting. The Library of Congress has created an e-publication that will be available through the iBook store on November 1st. And we're doing a series of 22 podcasts as well. And finally, we're going to loft the entire collection of audio, 250 disc recordings, onto the library's website sometime this winter. And so we think that these actions and these activities will allow the communities to decide, oh my gosh, this is really interesting stuff. We should continue this tradition, or we already continue it, and look how it sounded 75 years ago.
If I could just toot Todd's horn and just add to this just a little bit. I mean, what he didn't say is he's the author of this e-book.
Right.
I have to say that I think it's tremendously exciting that Michigan is actually kind of the test state and the test collection for a new approach that the Library of Congress is trying to make these recordings more accessible. You know, there've been a number of the Lomax recordings have been available for download on the web, not the Michigan recordings, but other Lomax recordings for some time. But this is kind of a multi-pronged, collaborative attempt to provide access and interpretation of a library collection, and Michigan is the subject. And you can see clips of the color film footage he took, see the telegrams that he sent. Some of them were quite humorous. Some of them are quite woeful, of a young man who's running out of money in a strange place. But it's an incredibly exciting and rich collaboration. And the e-book, I think, just is a marvelous contribution.
That was folklorist Laurie Summers, who is Michigan's program coordinator for the Alan Lomax Project. And she was joined by Todd Harvey from the Library of Congress. And as they were discussing his new e-book, it's entitled Michigan I.O., Alan Lomax and the 1938 Library of Congress Folk Song Expedition. And it's available beginning today at iBooks for your iPad. And for more information on the 75th anniversary of Alan Lomax's 1938 field trip recording through Michigan or Todd's ebook, you can go to our website, the stateside link at michiganradio.org. We have all the links there for you. Lori, Todd, thank you so much for talking with us today and sharing Alan's story.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you.